see you here this morning. Study your New Testaments and you'll find that exactly what Brenda just played is so true. There's wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus makes all the difference in the world. It's good that you're here in the Lord's house. Remember next week, sunrise service at 7. Breakfast at 7:30. Worship service at 8:30. And that's when we finish up, we'll be through for the day. So we hope that you'll be here and be a part of that. I'm sure Tondo mentioned more about it, but we look forward to that. Appreciate all the ones that came and participated yesterday in the Easter egg hunt and things that were done with the kids. I know I appreciate you leaders who took part of it. A lot of kids that I didn't know, so it's great to have them. I told them when I came that I thought, well, you know, I'm old enough being my second childhood. I believe I'll look for eggs. And then I thought, I'll have to bend over. I'll probably face plant if I bend over. So I decided I wouldn't hunt for any eggs. It's good. God's so good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the way you care for us, you love us, you meet our needs. Father, we worship you today. We know that this is the Sunday many, many years ago when Jesus rode into town on the donkey and they just praised, hallelujah, blessed is the Son of David, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Lord, along with those so long ago. Have your way in the service today. Speak to our hearts according to our greatest need and your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand together and join as we sing Down at the Cross. In your books, it's 140, or you'll find it on the screen, whichever way you like. this song never grows old. Miss Eva Ann, I see her sitting back there. Typically, I have so many that say, please, please don't forget the man on the middle cross. I think this goes back to maybe, I don't know, Brenda, I was 10, 15, something in 65 now, and it still hasn't grown old. So we pulled it out and practiced it when our praise team was practicing, and I said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and put this in for this Sunday, and we have more special to come. We're excited about Hudson singing for us as well, but let's just all concentrate right now on that man on the middle cross for our next Sunday's service. So we need now to move to our announcement time, making sure that we're all on task with what's happening. So tonight we are doing youth 5 to 7 and no adult study tonight. So if you were planning to be here for that 5 o'clock, there will not be an adult study tonight. Wednesday, we will not
takes a lot of courage for a child to get up and sing. And I was telling Hudson when he was practicing earlier, I grew up at West Alamo Baptist, and every Sunday night we had something they call the training union feature. And various ones of us from that age on up to the high school kids would get up and do some kind of skit, some kind of was it flannel board talk, some kind of recitation. And it was just a part of the Sunday night services. And that's how I started out a long, long, long time ago. And we just pray for the young people in our church to grow to be what God would have them to be. And when you see Hudson, tell him thank you. Thank you. This morning, do you realize you can be the most faithful church member in North Carolina and still miss out on God's best for you? I mean, you can be in church every time the doors are open. You can volunteer to be on every committee. You can give regularly and still miss God's best for you. You say, now, preacher, how can that be? Let me ask you, do you have a religion or do you have a relationship? You have religion or a relationship? God's original purpose in creation was for he and the man that he had created to have a relationship. In Genesis 3, verse 8, we read, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." I don't know all that was going on and how long it lasted, but evidently every afternoon cooled off a little, and God came and walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, they may have talked about the fruits and vegetables that they had for supper. They may have talked about God's purposes. We don't know, but it was a time of fellowship between Almighty God and his creation. Now, what happened? You know the story. Sin disrupted that fellowship. Sin became between God and his creation. And so that real fellowship was never totally possible after that until the cross. But now God still wanted fellowship. Over in the book of Numbers, it talks about they had created, you know, they had built that tabernacle. And they built it according to the plan in the first couple of chapters of Numbers, if you want to read all that goes on there. They had built that tabernacle with all the everything, and they had the Ark of the Covenant in there and the Holy of Holies. And then it talks about they set up the camp. The Levites were over the tabernacle. Chapter 2, verse 3. "On the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they have the standard of the camp of Judah pitched throughout their armies." And it goes on and talks about every one of the tribes. And there were three on the south and three on the north and three on the west and three on the east. And it's interesting, as you read through there, they're all facing the tabernacle. Now, you'd think they were out there in hostile territory, that they'd all face the other way so that the enemies didn't sneak up on them. But God had it so arranged that whenever they camped for the night, and sometimes they camped for a night, sometimes they camped for weeks at a time, they all focused in on the temple, the tabernacle, the place where God had the Holy of Holies. It was a type of fellowship. Then whenever you think about the New Testament and Jesus calling those first disciples, come follow me, come follow me, come be with me, I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus could have said, now Peter, first Thursday of every month, I'll be by your house at 1 o'clock and we'll have a little time of talking. And Andrew, since I'll be at your house there with Peter at 1, I'll make an appointment with you for 3. We'll have an hour or two of fellowship. And he could have done that with all of the disciples, but that isn't what he did. He said, you come and be with me all the time. Fellowship with Jesus. And I know we read some of the times that they were in a house that someone had provided for them, but some of the time they camped out by the lake. Can you imagine what it would have been like? Jesus, you've had a supper and there's a campfire there and everybody's just gathered around and Jesus is talking and you've got questions about the things that he taught that day and you're wondering, hey, can you explain that a little more? Fellowship that they had with Jesus. Just the quiet times around. Now turn with me over to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we'll begin at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus talked about, even after he went back to heaven, he was going to send someone, the Holy Spirit, to be with them and to be in them. Fellowship. Jesus was going away physically, but the promise, a totally new way of fellowship. And the whole purpose of the cross, the shed blood, which we'll celebrate in a few moments, was to restore what was broken in the Garden of Eden. Sin separated man from God, and the death of Christ on the cross made it possible for us to have fellowship with him once again. It's such a telling picture that when Jesus died on the cross, you remember in the temple there in Jerusalem, it says the big curtain, I think the King James calls it the veil, that separated the ordinary parts from the Holy of Holies, it says it was torn in half from top to bottom. And now I understand the thing was probably about this thick. They weren't tearing a sheet of notebook paper. No man could have done it. But when Jesus died on the cross, that veil, that curtain that separated ordinary people from the presence of God was torn. And the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus restores what was lost in the garden. It restores it so that we can have fellowship with the Lord. And you know, the Bible in Revelation says that God's final purpose is fellowship. He says, I will come and I will be with you. I will be your God in the midst. The Bible says that we don't need a sun outside because the glory of the Lord in his presence will make all the difference. Now, here's the point. God's purpose to create us was fellowship. Fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. A relationship between us and the Lord. A relationship between us and the Lord. But we can have a religion without a relationship. Turn with me to the book of Luke. We'll start with chapter 18. Book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one to the Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You know what he's praying with? He thinks he's talking to God because the next word is, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican that's standing over in the corner. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. You see, Jesus says, here was a man that was very, very religious, but he had no relationship. In fact, as you read through the New Testament, the scribes and the Pharisees were some of the most religious people in the history of the world. And they were face to face with the Son of God and never recognized it. They had a religion but no relationship. Now the classic example of this is in Luke 10. Luke 10. Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was so busy serving the Lord, and she missed out on the relationship. Mary loved the Lord, and she wasn't missing the relationship. Now, we won't turn there unless, you know, if you want to look at it later, John 11. Something very interesting you notice is that, you remember, their brother Lazarus died. And they send word to Jesus. Jesus takes his own good time to come and be there. And Lazarus has all been buried. And the scripture in John 11 says, when Martha hears that Jesus is on his way, what happens? She jumps up and runs to Jesus. And Mary stays in the house. And it's only later that Mary came. It appears to me that at some point, Martha realized, I need a relationship. I need to know Jesus in a better way. And so she runs to Jesus. And then, of course, Mary comes later. Are we having a relationship? relationship? Or do we just be religious? That's a key for all of us. The relationship or just be religious. We all need to be serving the Lord. We all need to be faithful. We all need to be givers, tithers. We need to find our spiritual gifts and use them for the glory of God. But don't get so busy being religious that you forget to spend time with the Lord. And your time and my time may be totally different. Now, I read my Bible some during the day and some devotional books. But ever since caring for my wife in the middle of the night before she passed away, 95 out of 100 nights, I'm awake at 2 o'clock. Now, I can be real frustrated, and I have been a few times. Or I can lay there and pray and build a relationship with the Lord. I can lay there and sing. Hope you're not outside listening. I can build my relationship with the Lord. And then when I go back to sleep, I go back to sleep in peace. I encourage you to build a relationship with the Lord. Don't be the most religious person unless you have a relationship. I mean, that's God's purpose. That's what God wants from you for all of eternity. To focus on Him and that relationship. Now, I want to throw in one other thing that's sort of an aside, and this won't cost you any extra. If you're married, don't get so busy being married that you lose your relationship. You know, some couples, they get so busy working, taking care of the young'uns, keeping the house clean, the yard mowed, and the chores done, that they don't have a relationship. Married couples need a relationship. It may be a date night once or twice a month. There ought to be some away times, depending on who you are and what your situation is. And I'm not talking about going to Disney World or Dollywood or someplace where there's so much commotion you can't think. I'm talking about sitting on the porch at the beach holding hands, watching the sun come up or go down. I'm talking about sitting in the woods and listening and watching the squirrels play. I think back to a time in my life when Pam and I were a lot younger and things were going on in our church that were nutty. One of the deacons finally told Pam one day, said, "You know, we had some crazy people in our church." And she agreed with him. And we didn't have any money. You know, usually started the month with $0 in the bank and you got paid every week, and when we paid all the bills, it started the next month with $0 in the bank. I don't know whether you've ever been that way or not, but that's the way we were. I couldn't afford to take her anywhere. But we had a state park in the area, like Morrow Mountain, and so we'd go ride around the state park sometimes, just the back roads, and just in the quietness, and maybe park in a parking lot somewhere and watch the squirrels. And our town had a Taco Bell. I never heard of Chick-fil-A at that time. It was so long ago. But it had a Taco Bell. And back then, I think the hard shell tacos were 2 for $1 or something. And every Saturday afternoon, we'd go over there to that Taco Bell. And for $4, $5, $6, $7, and they'd let you have all the Pepsi or whatever you were drinking, you just keep refilling, and we'd sit there and talk and talk and talk. Share our hopes, our dreams, our hurts. The devil was trying to destroy us in the ministry and our marriage, but Taco Bell saved it. What I'm saying is, as a couple, make time for one another, just you and your mate. because God created us for fellowship. After all, when you go back to the garden, God looked at his man and he says, it's not good that man be alone. I'm going to make a partner for him so that he's not alone. Fellowship. Fellowship in the family. Make time for your kids. Make time for your kids. I think back to those years when I was pastor at Prospect. Mom and Dad had us at their house for Sunday lunch. Mom and Dad, four boys, four wives, eight grandkids. That's 18. And as our kids got a little older, boyfriends, girlfriends. That is amazing. The dining room wasn't much bigger than that little alcove back there. And the living room was not much bigger than that. We had grandma's dining room table that was 1,000 years old, and it would seat about 12, 14. And then they set up two or three card tables in the living room, and Daddy always cooked enough for feed 100. Man, I'd love to have one of those days again. The fellowship. The fellowship. God created us to love on one another. When we finish up the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, we always sing, blessed be the tithe that binds. But you know, a verse that we never sing goes something like this. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart until we meet again. Amen. Our deacons will come. Now we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. We invite you, if you're a child of God, whether you're a member of the church or not, we invite you to participate in this service. Bible says that the Lord Jesus, that last night before the crucifixion, joined his disciples together, took some bread, he broke it, he blessed it, gave it to his disciples. I'll ask Jeff if he would to bless the bread.
If you're having a problem, Lord, thank you for your study and for your blessing. Father, Lord, thank you for each and every one here today and the way that we be here. Father, we ask you to bless this bread.
Mm-hmm. crucifixion, but he did it for you and me. He did it for you and me. He said to his disciples, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." In the same manner, Jesus took a cup, blessed it, and gave it to the disciples. Kenny, would you bless the cup? Folks, never forget the simple but profound truth in that old hymn, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." We'll never get to heaven except through the blood of Jesus. We can be good, we can be baptized, we can be church members, but so we accept the death of Jesus on the cross and believe in that death and that resurrection, we'll never make it to heaven. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. Drink ye all of it." you stand, and Kathy's going to lead us in singing, Blessed Be the Tithe.